We'll be in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13 this morning, if you want to turn your scripture to there. So, as many of you know, I'm a chaplain in the U.S. Army Reserves, but before that I had a life, I was an infantryman, and my last duty position was what's called an RTO, or a radio telephone operator, a little outdated. We don't run wire anymore like we used to back in World War II and Vietnam and things of that nature, but the term has stuck around for a very long time, and it was a great position. I worked directly with our platoon leader, and I got to be in and out of all the stuff that would go on day in and day out, and it was really a lot of fun, but it was a communication base, so I had to learn to speak on the radio really well. I had to be able to get a hold of people all over. And when we were in Iraq, I can remember they gave me this new tool. It's called the PRC-150. I'm not going to tell you what we call it, but with the PRC, I guess you can kind of figure out what we had endured. And the thing was, is it was aptly named for that on a sling because of the fact that it weighed about 25 extra pounds to your pack by the time you put the radio. And it was a satellite radio, so they had this big antenna you had to put together, which you can imagine wasn't always the most fun. But it was supposed to be able to communicate anywhere in the world. If you had the right net number, you could dial it in and you could talk to anyone. And see, we had an area that was pretty big, and it had a big kind of round area right in the middle of it, so we couldn't direct line radio communication back to our battalion assets back in our FOB. So I had to take on a FOB's forward operating base. Sorry, I'm going to kind of use some military jargon here as we go through this. I'll try to break it down, but our base. And I couldn't talk to him directly, so they sent me out with this radio, this big, heavy, stupid radio. And so we're sitting on top of a mound, and I'm trying to talk, and I'm like, Eagle Battalion, Eagle Battalion, and I'm not getting anything. I'm trying for a half hour. I'm like, I've done everything. I'm a good RTO. I know my job really well. So I finally put an all-net call, which is just like, hey, anyone on this net, can you hear me? And suddenly I get chimes in from everywhere. See, I was communicating. I was talking to people, but they weren't listening because it wasn't their job to listen to me, and I wasn't asking for their assistance. I was looking for Eagle Battalion, right? My battalion. And I started losing faith in it because I found out that the RTO back at our battalion had turned it off because it never got communication across it. We only had three of these radios in our entire battalion. I'm like, that's not good to hear because we were using it. We were many miles away from you guys, and we would need assistance occasionally. Why weren't you listening to it? Oh, it just wasn't there. See, communication is a difficult thing. And sometimes we lose faith in that communication because why? Because we don't believe the person on the other end is listening. We get kind of sidetracked or kind of confused or maybe even a little bit irritated because it seems like every time. By the time I left Iraq, I had a great relationship with a brigade RTO down in Baghdad. Not my AO, not anywhere near where I was supposed to be talking to, but he was always listening to his 150. And so I was able to hear and talk to him on a regular basis. The thing of it is, I had lost faith in my battalion's ability to get us help and support. See, prayer can be like that some days. Sometimes we feel like we pray in and out and about all things, and we don't hear or see an answer, and we start losing faith in the power of prayer. But the fact is prayer is one of our deepest ways to worship God, and we need to bring our hearts back into alignment with that, to be in communion or in communication with our Lord and our Savior on a regular basis is such an important part of our faith life, of worshiping God, because it tells us that we do trust that He listens. We do trust that He will answer our prayers. It's a setting aside of our will to hear His will and to be grown through what He has to say to us. See, in prayer, we get the example of speaking and hearing. And we need to trust that He is listening and that He's talking back to us. He does that through Scripture. He does that through other people as we pray together. So today we're going to do a little bit of a study on what it means to pray in a worshipful way, what it means to have prayer as part of your worship to God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, the seen and the unseen, to truly take our heart and place us in a position of subjection to God and His will, to be shaped and to be that living sacrifice that we've been talking about and what it means to be worshipful to God. So please stand with me as we read what is commonly called the Lord's Prayer out of Matthew chapter 6. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we lift up Jesus' example of what prayer should be. To be a change agent in our lives, to be worshipful in our prayer, to praise your holiness, your greatness, to truly come before your throne and recognize who you are for who you have declared yourself to be. Lord God, let our prayer just be a continuation of our worship to you. Amen. Please be seated. If many of you grew up in the church, and especially the Catholic or Lutheran church, maybe you were saying this long in your head, right? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen, right? This is something that we learn in and out. Yes, with the cross, depending on which denomination you came from. Yes, over and over and over again every Sunday, right? Which isn't a bad thing because Jesus is giving us an example, and I want to explain a little bit. He's not telling us this is how we have to pray. He's giving us an example of what prayer is and what we should be in our prayer life. The first thing that we see is that we should be making sure I'm following my slides good. I get ahead of myself sometimes. That we are called to praise God first. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed is just a fancy way of saying, great is your name, glorious Father. See, this is how we're supposed to enter in. So I think of it this way, like if you were to walk into the president's office, president of the United States office, would you go in there like, hey, Jack, what's up? No, you'd be highly reverent, right? You'd go in, you'd probably be subtle in nature, you'd probably be quiet, you'd probably be reverent in how you spoke, right? Now think about going before the king and his throne. You wouldn't go in there like, hey, I got something for you, and you're going to do, no, you're going to go in there, and you're going to bow your knee, you're going to hit the ground, you're going to sit there and say, your honor, your majesty. Well, this is what we're told, what Jesus is telling us, when we come before God, when we come before the Father, we need to take a knee and be reverent in that moment, first and foremost. We need to accept and show that we understand who God is. This is a worshipful life of prayer. Not a prayer of please give me, but a prayer of great and glorious Father. You are worthy of every praise, every subjection I can give to you, Lord God. I am not worthy to be before you, but yet here I am in your presence, O Lord God. Hallowed be thy name. This is what we're talking about in prayer. This is the deep, deep relational aspect of understanding who God as creator of the seen and unseen, as the Redeemer, as the Savior from our wickedness, is in honor of receiving when we come into prayer. If you go through checking the waters, we have a section on prayer, and you're going to be challenged for 1 minute to pray without giving thanks or to ask for something. Most people make it about 15 to 25 seconds is the average in class. Because I just sit there and say, we're going to have a minute, you're going to pray, and don't pray for Thanksgiving, but just to pray. We so quickly move from, sometimes we'll sit there and go, Father, you're great. Now please, Lord God, I want this, or I need this, or please heal this, or please take care of this person. We become requesters instead of glorifiers. And if we're not careful, our prayer life simply looks to be moving God into a position of being our contract man, the person who we ask to get things done, instead of the God who's above and over all things. And while he may have the power to do it all, as we understand, that shouldn't be how we approach him. He's not our contract agent. He's not to get the things we want done. We should understand that we are here to help him complete his will here on earth. And so we are called to give praise to God first before all things in Jesus' model prayer. Second, Jesus calls us to recognize that God is our provider. So he says, give us this day our daily bread. The reason he's pulling this out is the fact that we need to understand that each and every day, as Faith put in earlier during worship and the music, is the fact that God is the provider of all things, the very breath you breathe, the very ability to stand up and walk, move, do all things, right? Everything that you have comes from God, whether it's much or little, is from God. The foods you eat, the house you have, the friends, the family that surround you are all from God. But all too often, we forget this and we ask God for the things that we don't have instead of giving thanks and praise for the things that we do have. We sit there and we challenge God, like, why haven't you made me rich? Or why haven't you given me a bigger house? Or why can't I have a better car? Instead of going, Lord God, thank you for giving me a roof over my head. Thank you for having food on my table, even though it may not be what I want, it sustains me. See, what Christ is reminding us is in our prayer life, we have to be remembrant of the fact that we are in the place that God has placed us for a reason. Now, sometimes our own choices have elevated us to lower or higher levels than maybe where God wills us to be. Usually because of choices we've made, we've walked away a little bit or things of that nature. But the fact of it is in the simplicity of what God provides us is great joy. Have you ever sat there and asked, I can remember this when I was a young enlisted man going, oh, I want the next rank. Give me the next rank. I've learned not to do this anymore. And then you get the next rank and you're like, why did I ask for this? This is way more responsibility and I hate what I do now. Have you ever done that at work? Yeah, oh man, I just want that next promotion, man. I just want the next job. I want the next pay raise. And we start looking like, oh, that'll give me this, this, and this. And then you get there and you're like, oh, this isn't worth this, this, and this. In fact, this isn't even close to being worth this, this, and this. In fact, this is way not good. See, the thing is when we just find happiness and joy in the simplicity of where we sit right now, good things will come. But our lives will have so much more joy inside of it. Instead of worrying about the next thing, just take joy in what we have now. Our prayer life has to remember that God is over all things. He is sovereign. And if we're going to praise him and worship him and the hallowed be your name, then we have to also understand that in all things that we receive is God, and we should be thankful for that. So that we should recognize God is our provider. The third thing that Jesus points out is that we need to understand that God forgives and delivers us in our prayer life. Why is this important? Because if we lose that fact, we lose the power of the name of Jesus Christ in our life. If we forget what Christ did on the cross for us, we lose the strength that it is in our lives. We no longer have the hope because Jesus isn't foundational in our lives anymore. Each and every one of us has probably struggled with that at some point or some time. We forget that God sent his only son to die on the cross, that we may have relationship with him again, that we may be saved, that we may be redeemed, be delivered from the sin and the payment of sin, which is death, into an everlasting life. See, we forget those things because we don't pray those things. We ask for God, and pretty soon we forget that God has power in our lives. He's like the battalion that's not listening anymore because he's not bringing us that next paycheck bigger than the last one. He's not giving us a bigger house. He's not giving us this X, Y, Z that we want and that we request, and we forget that that wasn't what his plan ever was in the first place. That Jesus wasn't here to make our lives better monetarily or materialistically, but spiritually, emotionally, and psychologically. To give us a strength inside to push through every difficulty that we run up against and not just be able to pay our way out of it. See, that's that message that we hear oh so often, that if you just pray the right way, God will give you, or if you're receiving great things, God's blessing you. But I'm not so sure that's always true. Because if that was true, then the apostles and the early disciples and those who were martyred for our faith would have a strong understanding that God wasn't in their lives then, because they definitely didn't feel monetary or materialistic or a physical safety inside of it. No, instead they were persecuted and killed. But the beauty is that's not how they looked at things. They came to this and they understand that God is hallowed, That he is the daily provider of whatever you receive in that day for provision. And that he is delivering us from the evils of this world into a beautiful life where his power, his kingdom, his glory reign forever and ever. And that strength was what allowed them to go to the flames, calling out the name of Jesus Christ, confessing their faith in our Lord and our Savior. See, that's the strength that comes from a prayer life that recognizes that God's purpose in Jesus Christ is for salvation and deliverance from evil, that we may have everlasting life, and not to make sure that you have the next best thing and beat out the Joneses next door. So a prayer life that is worshipful comes into an understanding of who God is, the greatness that he is, the sovereign Lord who controls all things, who interacts with us, that he gives us what we need when we need it. Not more or not less, but exactly what we need. And then all of this is a remembrance that because he's willing to do this, that he was also willing to send his son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross that we may be delivered and saved from our own brokenness. How often does your prayer life follow that example? How often do you sit down and do you pray, "Oh great and glorious Father," on and on and on? Some of the greats, like Spurgeon, Aquinas, Augustine, these men prayed for hours and hours. Luther would pray for hours and hours of the greatness of God. Not for request or supplication of what they wanted, but instead to recognize who God was and the power that he carried and how that interacted with their lives. See, when you can pray in that way, God becomes so much deeper, so much more powerful, and so much more relational than simply asking for thing after thing after thing. Now, I'm not saying that that isn't a way to pray at certain points. There's a certain point where we have to come before God because of the greatness that he is, to ask him to intercede in those things that we can't control. But it's because we recognize and we understand in our prayer life how powerful he is and truly who he is in character that we can offer up with hope and joy in our hearts those prayers that God come in and do this. To heal this person or to remove this pain or to take care of the situation supernaturally because we've screwed it up or it's gotten so bad within humanity that it can no longer be cared for. But see, if we don't understand that, if we don't do that, then how do we go before God and ask true of our heart for something that we truly believe he can do as we're instructed to do by Jesus and James, to ask for all things with no doubt in our heart? But the problem is we don't believe that because we don't pray that initially. We don't go in and we don't recognize God for who he is. In fact, all too often he becomes that battalion that we offer up prayer after prayer after prayer of give me, give me, give me. And on the back side of it, we don't see the results of it, and so we start doubting whether he's listening. But when we switch our understanding, when we go into prayer, accepting God for the character he has shown himself to have, the greatness that he is, when we put ourselves before that, then we start seeing something a little bit different. We have a beautiful example in Matthew 26, verse 39. We're in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus Christ knows that he's about to be betrayed. He understands what is about to come. And this is his prayer, the final prayer. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." So Jesus, who tells us to come before the Father reverent, to give thanks for the daily provision and to remember the salvation that comes from God himself, opens up and puts himself in a place to sit there and say, "Father, be with me in this moment. take this cup, take the cross that is about to come upon me, and all the punishment and ridicule, pain and suffering that's going to come with it. Remove it from me, but only if it is your will. See, this is where a deep prayer life leads us to. It leads us to the ability to have a conversation with God, to hear God's word, but then also to submit to it. Jesus Christ knew what was coming, but he understood that his life here on earth in the flesh had to move towards where the Father was sending it. Otherwise, the work would not be complete, and salvation would not be able to be had by all, and that the world would continue the pain for the redemption that it called upon or called for. Because Jesus prayed as he modeled for them, to realize the character and the strength of God, the deep love and passion he had for that relationship with God, because he understood that every day his provision was given by the Father to him to continue to do the ministry that he did, and above and beyond, that salvation was found in God. He is willing to accept whatever fate God had planned for him, and to do so with willfulness and obedience inside of it. See, our prayer life needs to transform us, not just from a place of like, God, show me that you're the great God that you want to be. Prove yourself to me. That's what the Jewish people were doing at the time. It's what a lot of Christians do nowadays is, God, if you truly are God, prove it. Heal this person so that we can say, look, we prayed and God did. Take this pain away from me or save me from the financial hole I've dug myself into, and then I'll know that you're true and I'll praise your holy name. See, Jesus says that that's not the way you do it. In fact, it's not even close to the model. In fact, you go and you praise God's name for who he is before all else. And if you find yourself in difficulty, maybe you need to stop and think, what happened? Why are you there? If you're walking outside of God's will, are you going to find God's blessing? See, a deeper prayer life that puts us into an understanding of who God is allows us to move in God's will a little bit more because we start understanding it, we start seeing it, and we can start following it a little bit closer. Jesus spent 3 years explaining who God was in his ministry, challenging the common theology of the time and pointing people back to going before God and seeking God first and foremost. Not the law, not religion, but faith in the Father. And we as Christians are challenged in that every day too. So not to fall prey to track a religion or a bunch of denominational rules or laws, but instead to turn and understand the character of God through Jesus Christ. When we can do that, when our prayer life moves us to that, to understand it deeper and deeper, the stronger we can be, the more worshipful we'll be in our prayer life. See, when we come before the Father and we accept who he is and what he gives us and what he has done for us, suddenly it's not about us anymore, but it's about him and his greatness, his provision, and his love. Then, in those times when we find ourselves in great difficulty, we don't pray to be removed from it, but we simply pray to a glorious God who can shape all things and give thanks for that which he has done in our lives. The beauty of that is there's joy and there's hope in that, because when we come before God and we start understanding what he is capable of, then we can start truly praying with no doubt in our hearts that he can move things past anything that humanity can do. That he can provide a provision or a way out of something that no human could ever instruct us towards. But if our prayer life isn't worshipful, if it isn't surrendering to God, if it isn't offering ourselves in a living sacrificial way to hear his voice, to see his will, and to submit to that will, then what is changing? What is any different in how we've been doing things, and what's going to change from it? Absolutely nothing. We'll continue to do business as is. And then we'll start blaming God because, well, I prayed to God that I wanted more money, or I prayed to God that I wanted this person healed and he didn't do it. And we start having doubt in our heart. But the only things that Jesus ever instructs us to pray for in this model is to ask for forgiveness and the strength to forgive others, to deliver us from the evil that we find ourselves being tempted towards, and to be accepted into the kingdom as it is in heaven. If our prayer life asks for anything outside of that initially, maybe you're not taking time to realize just how great and glorious God is and what role he plays in your life. So I challenge you, ask yourself, has your prayer life been simply a contractual gimme, gimme, gimme in various ways? Or do you truly kneel before the throne, open your heart to see, hear, and feel his presence in your life, and to offer yourself up as a living worship to him, to be that perfect spiritual worship that Paul talked about in Romans? Are you truly worshipful in your prayer life? I guarantee you, when you are, your heart will have no doubt that when you ask for things, you'll ask in a way that pleases God, and that you'll truly trust that his will comes forward. Prayer is powerful. Prayer moves us through those most difficult times. As a college student, I ate ramen for almost a year. It's what I could afford. But the fact of it is I wasn't a Christian back then. I became frustrated and angry. There were times in my life that money's been tight, that I've become a Christian, or since when I've become a Christian. And the beauty of the fact is this, is I no longer worry about those things, because at least as long as I have a house and food and those who love me around me, that's all I need. The facts of it is things can disappear at any time. If you put your hope and your love and your trust in God on those things, you've created an idol. Jesus is telling us here in Matthew 6 that we need to denounce all idols, that we need to pray in a way that brings us before the true God, and then concentrate on those things that God tells us are important. To love him above all other things and to love our neighbors as ourselves. See, we don't see that when we look there, but it's right there. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, is the love God first with all things. Give us this daily bread and accepting that. But then he says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's to love our neighbor as we are loved, or as we will to be loved. And why? Because we know that God will deliver us into his kingdom along with his power and his glory forever and ever. See, this is the strength of prayer that moves from contractual gimme, gimme, gimme to deep understanding of God's character. I can't stress that enough, that if we don't sit in that camp, God can dissipate quickly. And it happens time and time again. I know many young Christians who have fallen away from being a Christian because God didn't answer my prayers, I never heard him. Because they were told, ask with your whole heart and you'll receive. Well, God, let me win the lottery. But God never says that money's the answer to anything. God says he's the answer. So instead of, God, let me win the lottery, take this cancer from me, heal this relationship, how about pray, Heavenly Great Father, the creators of the heaven and the earth, of that which is seen and unseen, I am yours. Do with me as you will. Move me through this relationship in a way that honors you, that you may be glorified, that you may be made the center of our lives. Thing is I ask for the same thing. Help me with this relationship. But the fact is it's not me who can fix it. I'm the one who broke it, or have at least added to the stress within it. But here I'm sitting there saying, God, I know that you're the only one who can do this. And in you, this can be a glorified thing because it is you that is working it, not me. But the also, or the other side of it is as I enter into that situation, as we enter into a prayer like that, we can understand that it is his will that needs to be made, seen and known, not just ours. And in it, things may happen or not happen that we may or may not understand, but we can trust that it's God's will because we've surrendered it and we're following it. The Lord's Prayer is a beautiful prayer. And if we understand what it's there to direct us to do, to remember how to pray in our daily lives, to see God's greatness and accept him for who he has declared himself to be instead of trying to put him in that box that all too often we try to shove him into. To be joyful in those things he has given us in provision because we understand the true love and direction that he moves us towards salvation and towards redemption. It can be the most beautiful prayer in the world. When we remember that as we say it, when it reminds us and draws us back to that type of prayer life, then it is a beautiful thing. But if it just becomes that droned saying that we say every Sunday or every time we come into it, then it becomes deadly because it's no different because our heart's not in it anymore. Growing up Catholic, I suffered. Not that all Catholics suffered. I suffered. Because there didn't seem to be any life inside what we were doing. And there didn't seem to be any understanding. I would ask, why do we recite all this stuff? And I would be told, because that's what we do. Not because of the beauty of what Christ could have taught at that moment. Simply by sitting there saying, well, we say this as a reminder of what it's meant to be. And where we're supposed to direct our prayer and how we're to direct our prayer. So we come today, we're going to do some praying this afternoon, or in a little bit here, not this afternoon, just in a little bit. We're not going to keep you that long. But we're going to pray in a worshipful way. We're going to pray not just asking for supplications that we receive these great blessings from God, but we are going to take a moment to recognize who God is in our lives. We're going to take the modeled prayer and we're going to put it into application. We have one family that's here that we're going to pray directly for, and then we have also another person that's not here today because of a health issue that we're going to pray over. I'm going to ask, are there any other prayer requests for today? So we're going to open up in prayer. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before your throne, and we kneel before it, for you are a great and glorious Father. It is through your love that we may know love. It is through your mercy that we may share kindness and compassion amongst each other. Without your holiness, without your righteousness, we would not know what is right or wrong. We would not have strength or hope or joy in our lives. And so your name is worthy of praise, of every word of praise that we can lift up, every moment that we can come before you, that we can kneel before your throne and declare you God is not enough to glorify you to the extent that you are worthy of it. For God, you are the creator of the seen, the unseen, of the heavens, the earth, all that we know. Your hand is over it all, directing it to your goodness. And we do pray that your kingdom come as it is in heaven, to have the power and the glory forever and ever inside that kingdom. Lord God, let you be glorified in this moment. Let our hearts be open to hear your spirit and your voice deep inside of us. For we are yours. And let that be our greatest worship, is that which we sacrifice unto you as a living sacrifice to follow your will, to see your will come to light, and to know your goodness here on earth. To let no other become our idol, let no other become our God, but simply to find you and be in your presence. For Lord, we know that your hand can work great things. We pray for a church in Sauk Prairie that needs structure and direction and just overall just a sense of your presence. May they bow down before you, God. May they seek you out. May they know what your will is in the situation. May they stop pursuing their will and simply submit to yours. Lord, we lift up the Westfall family and ask for peace as they grieve the loss of a young son. Lord God, your hand is healing. And you know what we felt or what is felt in these moments because you lost your son to the cross. And so, God, we know that you are holy in this and that your righteousness and your goodness will show its way. We just ask that your Spirit brings them peace and opens their hearts that they may know who you are and feel your presence in their lives. We ask that you be over Michelle as she goes over and deals with Lyme's disease. God, you can send your Holy Spirit, the power that is called to be amongst us now, to be a healer and a comforter. And God, we wish this and pray this upon her at this time. Lord, we pray for Dee Zarno, who's at home today with a elevated blood pressure and obviously something going on. Lord God, just heal her heart. Be present with her and her family that they may know you and understand you. That through her testimony, you can be glorified, that those who are struggling or don't believe can see your presence in her life and the strength and the truth of your Son, Jesus Christ, in it. May you be glorified in it. Father, we pray for divine freedom and the opportunities that come upon them, that they may be lifted up, that they may glorify you, that they may be your agent in this community. May your truth, may your wisdom come upon them, be shown through them. May your love be felt by others through them. We ask for Deb to have a surrendering to your will, to know where you're directing her as she goes through this difficult time. God, any time that we go through a difficult time and we can surrender ourselves to you, to hear your voice, to feel your presence, and to walk the path that you set before us, whether it's easy or hard, is a chance for us to declare our trust, our faith in you, God, that you are the righteous one to follow. And so, God, we just turn and ask that you help her see that path clearly and give her the strength to follow it. We ask for Corrine as she has heard and been touched by your truth, by your saving grace. May she believe in the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ, and may she accept it deep in her heart, not just to fall into a set of ordinances or laws, but to truly accept you and be in your presence to be your child. Lord, we pray for the Gladhams as their family goes through a time of difficulty, to accept the freedom that comes in Christ. While we can say it to ourselves over and over, Lord God, sometimes it just doesn't sit or doesn't take effect. But God, send your Holy Spirit that it can truly be in their hearts, that they may know the joy and hope that you bring us each and every day. And Lord, we lift up the cell box as they go through a troubled time. We ask that you fill their hearts with peace, strength, courage, and also comfort. That they have a heart to help, a heart to declare your truth and your goodness, your greatness. Lord God, we just ask that your Holy Spirit dwell upon them and completely and utterly shed a shield of protection around them, around their children, around those who come into their home through foster care and along with Jen and Jared. For God, when we answer your call, when we come into your presence, Satan becomes very loud. He challenges what you say is right and good through a very vocal and very heard world around us. And so, God, we just ask that you are in their presence, that you lift them up, hold them up, and give them strength beyond anything that humanity can experience. Let their story be a testimony and a witness to your greatness. And Father, we lift up this church, for we are your body. With Jesus Christ as our head, let us truly be that. Let us show your glory. Let us live united in Christ. Let us set aside our differences and come together and follow your will. For God, it is your strength and your wisdom that we seek. Let us touch this community that you may be glorified in it, that your greatness may be known in it. May we be yours above all else. For Lord God, we come before you and we submit to you, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.